We'll be in Daniel chapter 9 tonight. Daniel chapter 9. I've got, as I do oftentimes, but this one's much too much scripture to get into, and I'm not sure how far we'll get. I want to get some basic thoughts in tonight. We're doing doctrinal lessons here on Sunday night, and some of these lessons, and I think I'll, whatever the Lord wants, but I think maybe he's going to have us go into understanding some patterns and big pictures of the Bible. The Bible is sectional. And to understand a lot of Bible, you have to understand what's going on. You have to understand who it's talking to and why and what the Bible, God divides it into sections. And he does it, and I think men divide it more into sections than God does. Men really break it up into little things that are more than God does, but God does himself do some things, and he works with people at different times in different ways. For example, with Adam and Eve, he was working in the Garden of Eden in perfection, and they had no law. They had no Ten Commandments. Their whole law was don't eat that fruit, okay? Yeah, after they fell, a whole new situation came, and men were dying, and things were different, and we call these things it's a biblical word, but we call them dispensations. God changes things to a different dispensation, and I want to maybe give a little bit of that, because if you understand the times that we're in, and the times that God is talking to there, again, not breaking it down more than God. God's the one who breaks it up properly, and he says that this is the section I'm in. And the one we'll go into tonight a little bit, it'll help you get the big picture of the Bible and understand it better. Daniel 9 has the most important passages on prophecy in the Old Testament, just as far as compacting a few verses. I think Isaiah 53, of course, is vital. But understanding all of prophecy, Daniel 9 and these big long verses, verse 24 through 27, Daniel is praying for understanding. He doesn't understand He understands that his nation had been destroyed. He understands he was taken captive to Babylon from his homeland of Israel. And he understood that Israel had been, God had decided they were going to have 70 years of captivity. Yet he discerned in his spirit there was something else wrong. And God was going to, and that the Lord was not done with what Israel had to go through. And so he began to really pray and say, God, what is going to happen to our nation? I think God put that in his heart so he could eventually write this prophecy. And an angel came down and gave Daniel the future of Israel. Okay? And verse 24, we'll start there. And God's answer is this: 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make an end of reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks, 62 weeks. The street shall be built again in the wall, even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with the flood. And unto the end of the war of desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. All right, let's pray, and we'll give some meaning to this. Lord, anoint us with power and speak to our hearts. May the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, may he give us exactly what we need tonight and help us to find what you have for us. Lord, I have a lot of doctrine and a lot of prophecy and a lot of truth here, Lord, and I do not believe we can get through it all tonight, but Lord, I pray we do exactly what you want and get the concepts that are important for us to get in the big picture. And help us understand some prophecy and our times and the future times that are coming, Lord. And we pray you'd help in a powerful, powerful way for us to grasp these things and speak to our hearts and just make it practical to us, Lord. I know we've had many practical messages, and these are doctrinal to understand, but Lord, the truth sets us free. So I pray that you'd work in our midst if we need that, even though we may be preaching about deep doctrinal things, anything practical in our life, you would speak to us and help us to get fed and get what we need. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're watching the news at all, the world is its usual mess, and there's a lot of messes in the world, and that's not unusual. And Israel is in a battle right now. Israel is about 3.5 weeks ago, three Israeli teenagers were murdered, and they were killed in the Gaza Strip, but about some Palestinians, and some Israeli went and killed a Palestinian, or Israelis killed a Palestinian youth, and then from Gaza, the Gaza Strip, they call it, they began to shoot rockets at Israel. None of this is unusual. The reason they can shoot them from Gaza is because Israel had a few years back given back. Israel occupies these territories. There's the Golan Heights, the Gaza Strip, and the West Bank. Israel occupies those areas. It has. What it means is they conquered it in 1967 in a war. And they said, you can attack us from these spots, so we're going to keep a police and a military force there. You can live here, but we're going to be there in case you try anything. And then they backed out of the Gaza Strip. They backed out of that, and they said, okay, you know what? You guys have been saying if we wouldn't occupy, you wouldn't attack us, so we're going to let you out of the whole land. We're coming out. We're taking out all the Jewish settlements, all the soldiers. We're all coming out. And they came out. But the group that runs those three areas is called Hamas. Hamas is a terrorist group whose basically constitution says Israel doesn't have a right to exist, and we're going to wipe them out. And so they're always fighting. It goes all the way back to Isaac and Ishmael, by the way, in the Bible. And they're going to be fighting, and that's the deal. Israel has been fighting with their neighbors since they came into existence in 1947. They had a war then. They've had multiple wars, 67, 73. They've fought over and over and over and over, and there's no resolution to this problem. There's no earthly resolution. The only resolution to it eventually will be, and that's why I keep my eyes on Israel in prophecy, because Israel is where it's all centered around. Israel is what it's all about in the Bible. And so when you see these kind of fights, and the whole world is very upset. They're very upset at Israel mostly. But also at the Palestinians. The reason they get upset at Israel is Israel, basically the Palestinians, Hamas does not care about the loss of human life. They're terrorists. And what they do is they hide their missiles in the middle of hospitals and schools and in the middle of housing residential neighborhoods so that Israel will not blow them up. And so Israel, what they're trying to do is they call the house and they send flyers out and say, we're going to bomb your house. We know there's missiles under it. We're going to bomb this school, evacuate it. And Hamas gets people not to evacuate so that when the bodies come, they get there and take pictures, and Israel's bad people. And so that's kind of the way it goes. And Israel isn't perfect, and Israel's done some things wrong, and the Palestinians have done some things wrong. Hamas is very bad, and it's a big mess. And that's just the way it is there. And that's the way it's been for a long time. And the Palestinians feel like Israel, the country is on their land because they used to live there. And so it's a big mess. That whole deal there is what will bring in the Antichrist. The Antichrist in this passage, I don't want to get ahead of myself too much, but in verse 27, he signs a covenant with many people around the world and with Israel. And that covenant is a 7-year-long covenant that says, okay, and it's there's some other passages on it in the Old Testament and the prophets about what it's about. And with it, and it's a land for peace deal. And eventually Israel gets a promise of peace from the Antichrist. The Antichrist looks like a big hero. Okay, that's kind of what happens there. In the middle of this process, as he's being told about this, he tells about what's been determined upon Israel for their sin in verse 24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. So he says, the suffering is going to last. You have 70 weeks of suffering to go through. Now, the 70 weeks, everybody universally understands the 70 weeks. It's the same as for the 40 days the spies went in the land, they wandered for 40 years. a day here of wrong leads you to a year of punishment. Okay? When it says 70 weeks, it's 70 groups of 7 years. Okay? And it gives you a time frame. This is 490 years of suffering that Israel has had determined upon them for what they have done. They went in idolatry. They rejected God. They didn't take God's punishment when God tried to punish them. They rejected that. They wouldn't let. And so it got worse and worse. And so God said, okay, I've determined what I'm going to do to them, how long they're going to suffer, what they're going to go through. It's 490 years. It's been determined upon them. But he sets it very carefully, not into 490 years, but into 70 weeks. And then he breaks those weeks down into three groups very carefully, because it's all now, when Daniel wrote this, totally different time. The stuff that's going to happen is in the future. Now we're looking back and see what those groups meant and what all of it meant. But it's been determined upon there because of that time. And we see that. Go back to Daniel chapter 7, just a couple verses, and let's see what we can get into. Daniel 7, and I don't know if this particular battle with Israel is going to be the one where the peace treaty is going to be made. There's been a bunch of them, and this is not anything super unusual what's happening right now. It's getting a little more attention internationally than most of the conflicts. The whole world's tried to solve this thing over and over and over. There's never a solution to it, but it might not be the one. It probably isn't, and we'll see what happens. The Antichrist, Daniel chapter 7, verse 25, talking about his treaty. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and shall think to change times and laws. This is the Antichrist. And they shall be given to his hand until a time and times and the dividing of times. Okay, time, one, times, two, three, and a dividing of time and a half. Okay, that's the Antichrist here. He is going to come in, and he's the power to rule and to succeed and to wear out the saints is given to him for 3.5 years. But the judgment shall sit, and it shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it until the end. And again, the kingdom and dominion and greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to people, the saints, the Most High. Jesus comes back and fixes all that. And that's the same as Revelation 13, where the Antichrist takes power, and we see those things. So, there's determined, there's this time is 70 weeks. It's broken into two periods of 3.5 years. It's the 70 weeks is 7 years, and it's Jewish days. It's 360-day years, and that's always what happens. Now, back to Daniel 9, and I'm going a little bit fast here, but I want to get the main points here when I want to get to. There's reasons that that this has been set upon Jerusalem, on Israel and Jerusalem. The people are Jewish, and the city is the holy city, verse 24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, that's the Jews, and upon thy holy city, Jerusalem. Why? There's a bunch of reasons that they've been given this punishment. One, to finish the transgression. Okay? Finish the transgression, it means to get you done sinning. Okay? To get you all done. Are you done yet? Are you done yet? Boy, God has shown me so much about this in the last year and dealing with people and really not trying to get people back to God until they're done being away from God. The father never chased the prodigal. Let him come to himself and let him learn. And I've just found people that, though I love them and though maybe they in some part of their heart want to do right and want to go back to God, many times they aren't done yet sinning. They're still not bottomed out. It's a good term. And so to make an end of sin is the first reason. To make an end of sins, take away their sin and get them right, and to make reconciliation for iniquity. How do you think the end of sins and the reconciliation for iniquity came? Jesus Christ. And that's going to be mentioned in a couple of verses here. And to bring everlasting righteousness, that's the kingdom of God, when Jesus comes back. To seal out the vision and the prophecy, that ends everything, and to anoint the most holy, Jesus, King of kings and Lord of lords. And so we see all these reasons for them doing that. Now, verse 25 is going to break down the weeks. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. Okay? So, it says that there's a couple of events here. First one is from the going forth of the commandment to rebuild Jerusalem. That's Nehemiah chapter 2. And what happens is the king Artaxerxes says, you know what? You can go back and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. That command, we have the date. The date's well recorded in history, strange enough, March 14th, 445 BC. Okay, that's the date. And so from that day, There's a clock starts, and they're going to do their suffering now. Remember, they're in captivity, but the 70 years is going to end, and now they're going to, the clock starts ticking on their 70 weeks. And he says, from that time, you're going to have a breakup. And now he doesn't say 70 weeks from that time. He says, now you have 69 weeks from that time. It's counting down, not 70. He says, the groups are in seven. Let's go back here. Understand the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem. That's Nehemiah. Unto the Messiah, the prince. So the beginning is the commandment to rebuild. We have that date. Unto Messiah, the prince, shall be 7 weeks and 60, that's 60, and 2 weeks. So 7 weeks, 60 weeks, and 2 weeks. So 69 weeks. It's not the 70th week yet. Okay? That's a big part of what I'm teaching right now. Is he says, here is 69 weeks. And Daniel says, okay, there's 70. The 70th week is the most important week. The weeks are broke down. There's 7 weeks of trouble, it says. A troublous time shall come. They'll build the wall again, even in troublous times, the end of verse 25. That 7 weeks is the 49 years of Ezra and Nehemiah rebuilding Jerusalem. Okay, they had battles and troubles and everything there. So those 7 weeks of troubled times that they have. And so they have that. And then after that 7 weeks, you've got the time until Messiah comes, the coming of Jesus. And then he will be cut off, it says, but not for himself. That's a great prophecy about the death and the cross. Verse 26, after 62 weeks, shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. Jesus did not die for himself. He died for us. Isn't that amazing? This well over 600 years before the time of Christ, and it's telling Messiah's going to be cut off. They didn't know. By the way, nobody understood that verse beforehand. Messiah? He's going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What do you mean? He's going to be cut off, but not for himself. They had no idea what that meant. We know what it means. Aren't you glad you live in New Testament times? We understand all this stuff. Boy, they were looking through a glass darkly, trying to figure what this meant out. And then Messiah be cut off, and not for himself, of course. But now it's going to change, colon. He's going to go from Messiah, Jesus, to the Antichrist. Okay? And not for himself, and the people of the prince that shall come. The prince that shall come, if you read Daniel chapter 8 and chapter 9, you'll find out the prince that shall come, the self-willed king, it's the Antichrist. Okay? The prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. And the end thereof shall be with a flood. You have to see Revelation 12 and 13 for that, a flood as an army. And under the end of the war of desolations are determined. Okay? Now, it says the prince of the people, the people of the prince that shall come are going to destroy Jerusalem after Messiah is cut off. We know when that happened. That was 70 AD. Titus, the Roman general, came through and destroyed the temple, destroyed the Jewish people, slaughtered the nation. Jerusalem was semi-intact at the time of Christ. Remember, he went into the temple. The temple was there. 70 AD, they literally took every stone off the temple and put it down. The gold was, they burnt it down, and the gold melted into the cracks, and they even took the stones apart to get all the gold. So literally, Christ's prophecy was fulfilled. They took every stone down. They destroyed the entire city of Jerusalem. And it says the people, the princes shall come. That is one of the things that tells us real clearly who the Antichrist, where he comes from. Okay, the people was the Romans. Okay, the princes shall come is going to come from the Roman Empire. Okay, the Roman Empire. Now I've heard people, I think President Bush is the Antichrist. I think President Obama is the Antichrist. I think President Reagan's the Antichrist. Okay, listen. If you read Revelation, it confirms that it says the beast rises out of the sea. It's referring to the Mediterranean Sea there. He's going to be a European, okay? He's going to come somewhere out of Europe. He'll come out of Europe, and he'll rise out of there. You might think your least favorite president is the Antichrist. Trust me, they're not that bad. They aren't cutting our heads off. They aren't saying they are God. They get close. But they're politicians. That's what they do. The Antichrist, and they'll come and they'll wipe it out and until the end. Now, verse 27. Big, big, big prophecy verse. 70th week. What in the world is 70th week then? And he, the Antichrist, shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, 7 years. We already know, like, the amazing thing is, it's going to be so obvious it's the Antichrist because he's going to make a 7-year peace treaty with Israel. It's going to be real easy to see that guy. By the way, he comes into the policy of peace. That's what he does. He comes in with peace. And in the midst of the week, 3.5 years in, he shall cause a sacrifice and the oblation to cease. That's the temple we rebuilt in Jerusalem. It's all over the book of Revelation. Somehow, by the way, they've already got all the parts, all the plans. They say it's almost snapped together. It's so complete. They just have to get the building spot. They're ready to build it. The Jews, the ultra-Orthodox Jews are ready to rebuild the temple. Okay? The problem is, whenever you see a picture of Jerusalem, you see this big brass-colored dome. It's called the Dome of the Rock. That spot is the third most holy site in all of Islam. And that spot's where it's got to be built. Now, how in the world that's going to happen, we don't know. But somewhere along the way, the temple gets rebuilt. We don't know if it happens before the tribulation, middle of it. I would laugh, even it would be terrible, if one of those stray missiles went and blew up the Dome of the Rock and they went and rebuilt it. And on that spot, that would be very funny to me. And I don't know how it's going to happen. I do know if that building, the second that building's gone, the Jews are going to take the... They let the Muslims run that spot right there, okay? But there's a whole bunch of Jews right below them. Right below them is what's called a wailing wall. They're looking up at the Dome of the Rock. It's right above them. That's where they pray. They want up there really bad, okay? Their own government won't let them. It's a secular government. And so he will make that covenant. And then in the middle, so somehow Israel's going to get the temple. They're going to be doing sacrifices. And in the middle of the week, though he looks like a peacemaker, in 3.5 years in, you can see it in Revelation 12 and 13, the Antichrist shows his colors, walks into the temple and defiles it with what's a big event called the Abomination of Desolation. That marks 3.5 years in the middle of the tribulation. And then he goes and defiles it, and he says, you may not sacrifice anymore because I am God. And you can only worship me, and I am God. And so he does that in the middle of the week. So that's the 70th week, and then 3.5 years of chaos. They have to run to the mountains and hide because the Antichrist is going to kill them all. And again, this runs parallel with Revelation 12 and 13, and you can see that there. And that's what happens. And you can, by the way, get a pretty close date to when Jesus actually dies, when the actually coming of the Lord, if you just count the years and count the days from that March 14th. It was April 32, probably, or maybe April in 30 AD. Just depends on the zero and a couple things, couple factors there. But that's around the time when he died. Messiah's cut off and not for himself. The Romans take it over. They get Jerusalem, and then all those things happen. At the end, 2,000 years later, the prince that comes, the Antichrist, he signs that. That is the 70th week. Now, you're with me. You're with me so far. That was a lot of information. Okay, that's three lessons. Okay, if you didn't get it all, don't worry about it. just live in curiosity and hate me for not teaching you. So we've got the end, Messiah's cut off. We got the end, Messiah comes. Okay, 69 weeks is done. Now, God is done with Israel. Okay, now he's entering a different time. Now, he's been with Israel. They're the apple of his eye. They're his people. God has a special place for the Jewish people, for Israel. Even after he is done with them, he still says, preach the gospel to the Jew first. That's how much God loves the Jewish people. He just loves them, and he cares so much about them. If you're anti-Semitic, you do not think like God. Okay? he loves them very much, and I don't say you... Here is, although they're not perfect people, God didn't think so either. And I don't know the perfect people. And 70 weeks is determined. 69 have gone. The 70th week is waiting to happen. It starts when the treaty is signed with Antichrist. Okay? Now, where's the rapture all that? That's what everybody wants to know who doesn't understand the Bible very well. The rapture is not the big event and all that. The rapture is not the big event in any of it. That's just what we care about all the time. It's an event, and it's important, but God emphasizes the 70th week. He emphasizes Israel. He emphasizes what happens in Jerusalem. He emphasizes the second coming. He emphasizes the abomination and desolation. The rapture is not part of this lesson at all. But we see that the seventh week is going to start that. What happens is at that moment, when the peace treaty is signed, Israel starts her seventh week. At that moment, it switches times again because we switched dispensations. Israel. Bible. Israel. And all of a sudden, God says, all right, I'm done. I'm switching over, and it's the time of the Gentiles now. I'm done with you guys for a while. And we live today in what the Bible calls the time of the Gentiles. Let me take you to Luke. Luke chapter 21. You are in the time of the Gentiles, and you're very fortunate you are. You couldn't go in the temple. You couldn't go into the courtyard. You couldn't do a whole bunch of things. You were a stranger. At very best, you'd be called a stranger who just got to be in the area. Okay? We get to be children of God. We get to enter into the Holy of Holies in prayer, the Bible says. We get to be priests of God right now because we're in the time of the Gentiles. It's very blessed. I'm not Jewish. I don't know if I have any Jewish blood anywhere in me, but I'm blessed to be as close to God as I can. I have all complete 100% ability to get close to God because the age I live in, because that's how good God is. And God's always extended a hand, but we're in an especially good time. Luke 21. Oh, let me get there. And verse 20. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies. Okay, that 70 AD. You know that the desolation there draw nigh, and let them that are be in Judea. Oh, I'm sorry, this is not that time. This is the middle of tribulation. Then let them which be in Judea flee to the mountains, them which be under the midst of them depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things that are written shall be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, to them that give suck, to though in those days, for then shall be great distress in the land and the wrath of the people. Then they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive in all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Now let me take you to Romans 19. There is a time, and since we're not going to turn to the verses in Revelation there, in Revelation 12, where it says a temple will be trodden underfoot of the Gentiles. Romans chapter 11. I really want to read Romans 9 and 10 and 11, all of them to you. I won't have time. I'm going to read passages out of them, Romans 11. And I'm just going to give you a little bit of what the Bible says about the time of the Gentiles. Romans chapter 11 and verse 25. But I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant. By the way, he's saying in here, listen, guys, you've been grafted in as children of God, but understand the original branch is Israel. And yes, he's rejected them from now, but he's not done with them. For I would not have you, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part hath happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Okay, we'll read on. And so all Israel shall be saved. We'll get to that in a while. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away the ungodliness from Jacob. And this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins, make the end of their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, they're the ones who are persecuting you. But as touching the election, they are beloved for this calling, for the Father's sake. For the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. God still loves them. Let me go back to Romans 9, and just a few verses. 23, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he hath prepared in the glory, even us, by whom he hath called, not the Jews only, but also the Gentiles. As he hath said in Hosea, O.C., I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which were not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. Why? The Gentiles weren't his people before, but they're called his people. And then chapter 10, and again, Romans 9, 10, 11 are all about how God still loves Israel, but he's turned from them to the Gentiles. And Romans chapter 10, and let's look at verse 19. Romans 10:19, it says, But I said, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I'll provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation will I anger you. He says, I'm going to turn to the Gentiles to make you jealous, because I'm going to love them. Hey, Israel, you watching? I'm going to them. I'm with them. And that's what God does. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel, he said, all day long have I stretched forth my hand unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. He says, these Gentiles are easy. They, I barely reach out my hand to them, and they come. You Jews, he says, I have reached forth my hand and reached forth my hand and reached forth my hand to you, and you're not doing it, so I'm turning to them to make you jealous. Because he wants them. And then chapter 11 in verse 1. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. I'm Jewish, for I am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Okay, I'm not done with them. I didn't cast them away. Verse 11, I say then, had they stumbled, that they should fall? God forbid. But rather, through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now, if the people of them be the riches of the world, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them be the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? Why, it's going to eventually come back to them. But you see that we get grafted in. We get brought into Christ. We get to do that. Now, so can a Jewish person be saved? Absolutely, but understand, we are in the Gentile age, or it's called the church age, where God works not through the nation of Israel, but through the church. Okay? All a Jewish person has to do to become one of his people is they have to get saved, and then God works through them as an individual. A Jewish person that gets saved today is just get saved the same way I do. They are not saved anymore by being Jewish. They aren't any special person because they're Jewish in the sense where they get some special privileges. They, because they've been cast away, have to humble themselves and just come like anybody else. Come just like the African, just like the European, just like the person from Timbuktu. And they have to come to Jesus Christ for salvation, just like the rest of us. And they become a member of the church, and they're just a person. Now, that's pretty high, but understand, it's the time of the Gentiles. And God is saying, hey, look how I'm blessing the Gentiles. Look how I've worked. And look how God, when a nation serves him, how he blesses that nation. And that's what he does. Now, Israel has been through 69 weeks of trouble. Now we're in the time of Gentiles. It lasted over 2,000 years. Now, during the tribulation, it's the 70th week. I want to say this. There's a misnomer that half the tribulation is nice and easy, and half the tribulation is awful and terrible. There is a tribulation and great tribulation. Tribulation is bad. Okay? The great tribulation is the worst time in the history of the world. No matter how you put the plagues together, it does not matter how you arrange them. If you look at the bowls, and you look at the trumpets, and you look at the vials, you look at all the judgments, there is no way the time frame. There isn't terrible wrath being poured out all over the place. Because it says after this, this was poured out. Okay? For example, for 3.5 years, the two witnesses are in Jerusalem preaching the gospel. Most people think they're at the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. That's what it looks like. But let's say it's the second half of the tribulation. Let's say it's in the middle. It doesn't matter. Wherever you put it, before you can get to those guys who are pouring out God's wrath, no rain and wrath from God for 3.5 years, before you get to them, they're between the sixth and seventh trumpet. Well, before the sixth and seventh trumpet, you got seven bowls and six trumpets, and they're all nasty. Okay? It's terrible. You got just already, you already are guaranteed before those guys come, because it says when they come, you've already got a famine. The great earthquake, where the people are saying, the rocks and mountains fall on us. One third of all the green things, all the vegetation in the world is destroyed. One third of the waters are poisoned. The wormwood meteor hits the world. Creatures are let out of hell before those guys come. The whole tribulation is bad. Now, the great tribulation is way worse, because the Antichrist is not revealed until the middle of the tribulation. The first half, he's a man of peace, but God is doing bad things. Okay, the great tribulation, the great day of his wrath, is the Antichrist is revealed, and he comes and he's possessed directly by Satan, and he begins slaughtering everybody. The mark of the beast is the middle of the tribulation. All these things start happening, but none of it's good. Christians are slaughtered and the people get saved all over during the tribulation. All these things happen. That's Daniel's 70th week. It's not a good time. Let's go back to Daniel 8. The Antichrist prospers during this time. You could have the best plan you want to thwart him. He prospers and does well for the 3.5 weeks. Daniel chapter 8. He's killed, by the way, in the middle of the tribulation. Gets a mortal wound, but comes back to life. Daniel 8. And verse 24. And his power shall be mighty, but not his own power. And he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. And through his policy shall he cause craft to prosper in his hand, prosperity. And he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He also shall stand up against the prince of princes, Jesus, but shall be broken without hand. Armageddon. So, Antichrist prospers, he does well. He's the enemy of Israel. In the middle of the 3.5 years, it says, he goes in and defiles that temple, and it says, that moment, Israel, if you hear that, it says, all of you Jewish people, do not go back in your house. Don't grab a coat, do anything. Run for your life for the hills, because he's going to kill y'all. And when they run for the hills, the Antichrist army comes after the Jewish people. The earth opens up and swallows up the army, and they have a safe place in the mountains there, and they are delivered. And God gives them wings to fly fast. We don't know how he does that, but they get there quickly, and they are safe there, and the Antichrist can't do a thing about them for the rest of the tribulation. But if they do not scoot out quick, they're dead. And so they've got to get there. And so that's their trouble. It's the time. It's the last part of their suffering. Now, we're not in that time. By the way, that's one of the reasons. I've talked to you before about the rapture. I believe the rapture can happen at any moment. I think that's all over the Bible. Jesus says, it's not for you to know the times of the season which the Father put in his own power, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. Quit worrying about when I'm coming back. Get busy. Is what he said. And be ready. Just be ready. It's what he says. Be ready, be ready, be ready. Be ready, be ready, be ready, be ready. And so, I don't know when he's coming back. He says, at such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. That's what he told me. So I believe, I don't know when he's coming. Okay? If he comes now, if he comes before the tribulation, part of the way to the, I don't know. But the times the Gentiles end when the time of Israel comes back. And it's nation, by the way, end times, nation, 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 nation again. And so it kind of fits in that the God's people are taken out. It's very possible at the start of the tribulation because it's Israel's time again. Possible, not guaranteed, not commanded. It has to happen that way in the Bible. Now, just a few things. Let's go to Revelation 12. I've talked about it a few times. I'm gonna finish up. Are we processing most of this? Okay. All right, there's a lot of stuff here. Okay. Let's go to Revelation 12. I'm doing about 80% of the stuff I have, which I didn't think I'd get to. There is a woman. This woman is Israel. Don't have time to prove why. It's really obvious. She has a man-child. That child is Jesus. Okay, she has 12 stars, 12 crowns, that's the 12 apostles, or the 12 patriarchs, the 12 sons of Jacob, and all those things. She was a child, and then there appeared at verse 3, another wonder in heaven, the red dragon, and he took a third of the stars of heaven, that's Satan, and the third of the angels became demons, cast into the earth. Verse 5, she brought forth a man-child, and he was going to rule with a rod of iron, that's Jesus, of course. And the woman fled in the wilderness. He chased her there, okay? And that's the Antichrist. He is revealed. The beast comes out of the sea, chapter 13, verses 1 through 6. It shows it where he comes out of the Mediterranean Sea. And then the false prophet comes in verse 11 and helps him get power. In verse 14, he deceiveth them that dwell upon the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell upon the earth, that they should make the image of the beast, which was wounded with the sword and did live. And he gave power and life to the image of the beast, and the image of the beast should both speak and cause many that would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, bond and free, to receive the mark of the beast, that no man might buy or sell, save he had that mark. Okay, what is the mark of the beast, Pastor? It's 666. Okay, that's what it is. It's not that complicated. okay? And it'll be six and six and six. It's like, imagine three sixes in a row. It'll look about like that, okay? And the prophecy is always fulfilled literally, okay? And that's what it's going to be. And but it's not just the mark of the beast you can take. You got to take the mark of the beast. And no man might buy or sell. Say he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name, any one of those three. And no, I'm not going to teach on that. I don't have time. So he reveals what he is. He comes out and he becomes very bad. He causes all these things to stop. He causes the abomination and desolation. Now, a few points on this. Let me just conclude. You understand Daniel's 70th week, how important it is in prophecy. Split into two parts. It's a new dispensation. You're switching from the time of Gentiles. It's now Israel's time again. The last is suffering when Jesus comes back to earth. Israel's troubles are over. And talk about a nation who's had troubles. Holocaust. You name it. I mean, they were a nation less than a day, and they were attacked by five nations. It's been a tough go, and they've had and they're hated. And by the way, they've done things wrong. They haven't been perfect. Not to get what they don't deserve what they've gotten, in a sense where they're that much worse than the Germans or the Dutch or the Filipinos. But they do very well for themselves still. They're way overrepresented in our Congress. They're the percentage of our population. They are very powerful in the media. They're very wealthy. They have a lot of power in the world. They have not been oppressed, though they've been attacked. Okay, a few things. Let's go to Romans 11. I just want to give you a few thoughts here, just practical for us. All right, a lot of doctrine. Remember, we read Romans 11. God's going to restore them. He's not done with them yet. You can read Romans 9, 10, and 11 on your own. Boy, I could have read out of Acts. If you read in Acts, let me read. I'm not going to read the verses. I'm just going to give you references. It keeps saying we're going to go to the Gentiles now. Acts 13, 46, and 47. Don't turn to these. Acts 18, 6. Acts 28, 28. Other verses where he goes to the Gentiles. Now, I'm going to go to these people. I'm not done with them. I still love them. Is God done with them? God forbid. God has not cast away his people, verse 1. Remember, God has not given up, verse 29. For the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. I have not changed my mind. Verse 30. For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. Even so have these also not now believed, that through your mercy they may also obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. God wants to save everybody. Now look at the thought that concludes this stuff about Israel. Verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall not be recompensed to him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Notice how many times God says mercy. Verse 30, they didn't obtain mercy, even so, through your mercy. God had concluded them all in belief that they might have mercy. Oh, the depth and riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. Listen, just think for a sec. God makes this nation, and they go into bondage. He brings them out by the Red Sea. They complain. He helps them, gives them water. They complain. We want more food. He gives them food. They say, we want meat. Every step of the way, they complain. He's done wonderful things for them. He showed himself so real. They're falling around the pillar by day and night. He gives them the promised land, this wonderful land, and they go into idolatry. And he sends punishment on them. And they say, okay, we're sorry, God. And God delivers them, and they go back in idolatry over and over and over and over and over ad nauseum. And God does that. And then God finally says, listen, if you don't stop this, I'm going to send you into captivity. But first, I'm going to send some people to punish you. Maybe you'll learn your lesson. They come in and punish them. They don't learn their lesson. So finally, 7 years of captivity. He says, all right, 70 years are determined. 69 years of suffering. He lets them come back their nation. And then the Romans come in and destroy them. They reject his son and kill his son. And then for 2,000 years, they do not accept Christ and call him a liar. And God is sitting there saying, my gifts and callings are without repentance. I have not cast them away yet. I'm not done with them yet. How merciful and patient is God? It is so amazing that through all that, as stubborn and rebellious as that nation has been, God just keeps on saying, I still love you guys. I want to restore you. You're still mine. We're not done yet. I'm not done with you yet. I know 2,000 years you did not accept me yet, but all Israel is going to be saved. By the way, end times, they realize Jesus is Messiah and they get saved. So they get saved. How patient is God? How merciful is the Lord to us? You know, I'm so glad that I can't wear out God's patience. I'm glad God doesn't change his mind on me. The gifts and callings of God are there. God doesn't say, you know what? I changed my mind about you, buddy. Pyong. That's what I'd do if I were God to me. Oh, I'm so glad nothing can separate us from the love of God. Second thing I want to say just in this whole story, we just want to understand what Daniel's 70th week is, but just a lesson for us also besides how patient is God and how long-suffering and how he doesn't forget. The payment you pay for sin isn't worth the price. He's going to make an end of suffering for your sin, an end of transgression for what you've done. He says, you know what? You sowed, you got to reap for a while. Holocaust, all the wars that have gone through Israel, all the crusades, the 10 crusades. I mean, just terrible suffering. Today, they are right now blowing up tunnels made by Palestinians into their land. They're blowing those tunnels. It's been hard for them. Separated, scattered all over the world. Boy, I tell you, there is a wage to sin, and that it's not worth paying. It takes some suffering. You got to pay a price. It is not worth it. And let me just go to one more thing I want to give you is Matthew 24. This makes the most misunderstood chapter in the Bible, which is Matthew 24, make sense. Matthew 24 switches from the time of the Gentiles to the time of the Jews, and everybody who gets the end times wrong all misunderstand that. You switch here. Look what happens. Everything in context says this. Now we're in Matthew 24. Look back a few verses to Matthew 23:37. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, Jesus speaking, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen doth gather chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Done. I'm moving on. So they come and the disciples say, look, Matthew 24, look at this beautiful temple. And God says, God's gone. Not impressed. God's done with this. Jerusalem's done. Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and the disciples came to him and said, for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said, see all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be one here left here, one stone upon another, which shall not be thrown down. Wasn't that talked about in Daniel? He's saying, done. 69 weeks are done. I'm going to somebody else. And he sat upon the Mount of Olives. That's where he'll descend to when he comes back to earth. The disciples came in privately saying, tell us, what shall be these things? Three questions. When shall these things be? You just told us about. And what shall be the sign of thy coming? First of all, when is the temple going to be destroyed? And the end of the world. Three different questions, three different times. Now, everything he's going to say is going to be about Israel and Jerusalem, not about Gentiles. Boy, the verses are used out of context in Matthew 24, 25. Oh, the verses, who he that endures the end shall be saved. That's a tribulation verse, not a salvation verse. Come on, bring these verses into context. And watch what he says. The context is so clear. People are going to be coming and saying, I am Christ. Come over here, come into the desert. That's not really happening. They're not saying they're Jesus. Now, false leaders come from all the places. They don't say they're Jesus. That's going to happen with the Antichrist and his false prophets. Verse 9, then shall he deliver you up and be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Then shall many be offended, shall betray one another, and many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. I'm in verse 12. Because of the iniquity shall abound, love of many shall wax old, but he that endures the end shall be saved. Way out of context for most people. This gospel of kingdom shall be preached to all the world. That's the 144,000. Watch. Verse 16. Now this is 15. When therefore you see the abomination of desolation, spoken by Daniel the prophet, we read that verse, stand in the holy place. No, we didn't read that verse, actually. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea, to Jerusalem is, flee into the mountains. What does that verse have to do with me and Seattle? I can run to the mountains really easy. Okay. Let him which is on the housetop come not down and take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back and take his clothes. And woe to them with child. They're in big trouble. Watch this. Verse 20. Pray that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation. Okay. You know, Israel is not a devout Jewish nation. It's a very secular nation. Very few of them are devout. They right now are blowing up tunnels on the Sabbath day. If it happened right now, they wouldn't care if it's a Sabbath day, they'd run. But then the whole nation's going to turn to Christ. All Israel shall be saved. And they're going to get saved and realize they miss the Messiah because of preaching the two prophets that are there. Which one of the reasons I think it started the tribulation. And there's going to be 144,000 Jewish evangelists scattered all over the world preaching the gospel. And when all that happens, they're going to be accepting Christ. And when they get saved, they say, good night. He's the Messiah. The New Testament must be true. And they're going to read the book of Matthew. And they come to Matthew 24 and get instructions and say, you know what? When that abomination desolation happens, we better run in the mountains because God's going to take us there and show us where to go. And if anybody in verse 23, say to you, here is Christ, or there is Christ. Verse 20, it doesn't matter if it's a Sabbath day. Right now, it wouldn't matter. He continues on about all the different things that happen and what you should do and what it matters to Israel. But nobody knows when. Listen. Makes a lot of passages make sense when you understand God will be done with the Gentiles and going to the Jews. Now, Gentiles will get saved during the tribulation. There's an innumerable host, the Bible says. Hundreds of millions will be saved. Great. Praise the Lord. Israel will be saved. And by the way, all those verses, you naked and you fed me, it's talking about how they treated the Jewish people during the tribulation when they were in trouble. There's not work salvation. Those people get to go into the kingdom of God, the 1,000-year reign, not into heaven. You're never saved by works. Again, false doctrine because you're out of context, because you don't understand the 70th week. Okay? It all makes sense when you understand the Bible. That's prophecy. That's what God does. And so it makes Matthew 24 make sense. Well, I sure am glad that I'm in the time of the Gentiles. I got saved and I'm as saved can be. Jesus Christ is my Savior. I got a home in heaven and we can be born again. God loves us all unconditionally, equally. But he's still got a place in his heart. Because when God gets a hold of somebody in love, he doesn't let go. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Let's pray. And Father, Lord, as we try to just understand a little doctrine tonight about the 70th week, I pray that we get that a lot of Bible makes sense when we understand dispensations and different times of working. And the time period we're working in right now is the wonderful time of the Gentiles, the New Testament. Lord, we see that also Israel is going to be your people again, and we don't see the church anymore after Revelation 4. Just Israel, 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 Israel. There's so many things that point to this, Lord. It just 70th week is going to be Israel's time of suffering again. Lord, you sure do love those Jewish people. Thank you for them. I pray that you'd even so come, Lord Jesus, and save them and take us out of this crazy world and fix this messed up world, Lord. Come back to earth. Lord, and fix the world we have. We thank you that you're so patient and so kind. Thank you that your mercy towards Israel shows us just who you are and your unending love and your patience. Thank you. Your gifts and callings are without repentance. You don't change your mind when we're yours. We thank you for that. Help us to love you more because of what you do and because of how good you are. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.